Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Westwood for another edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. With Allison Taylor, I'm Dave Marcus. Today, we celebrate championships. UCLA's got more of them than anybody else, and we're going to talk to volleyball and to women's water polo, a team that's hoping to get another one this spring.
Before we meet our first guest, let's take a look at the upcoming events.
A roller coaster thrill ride through the NCAA tournament brought UCLA the Women's Volleyball Championship for the first time since 1991. And we are thrilled to have a couple of the key participants, Rachel Kidder, the most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament, and assistant coach Dan O'Dell. Welcome to Bruin Talk and congratulations. Coach, describe your feelings when that final match ended.
You know, it kind of didn't really hit me at that. It kind of felt like, should we play another game? It was kind of, I don't know, it still really hasn't set in. So it's just, it's kind of remarkable to know that we're kind of part of UCLA history and part of history for women's volleyball. So,
Rachel, awesome. MOP of the entire tournament. Look back on it. Has it sunk in yet?
Yeah, it sunk in for me before the match was even over. Actually, a couple points when I realized we were going to win. I just like was looking at my teammates and I couldn't even believe it. And the whole thing was just such an emotional roller coaster, but it was great to spend it with those girls because they mean a lot to me, and it was just so fun.
The Bruin Odyssey began with a couple of first and second round matches here at the John Wooden Center, and then you went to Lexington, and you faced Penn State that had won 4 years in a row, and then you had the number one seed, Texas, to get through. Tell us your feelings going into that regional.
I think we were pretty confident just because we'd really focused on ourselves instead of who we were playing. And we'd made sure that we were playing as a team together, doing everything on our side of the net that we could do instead of being worried about their players and how physical they were. It was definitely a different opponent for us because they were very physical players, but we did everything right on our side of the net, so that's all that mattered.
The Bruins were seeded ninth in the NCAA tournament. Dan, as a coaching staff, what kind of measures did you guys take to ensure that the Bruins got as far as they could and eventually they ended up winning the national championship?
You know, we tried to take it one game at a time. We'd never tried to get too caught up with the highs or too caught up with the lows and try to keep an even keel with the girls the whole time. And I think all the credit goes to the girls. They really stayed focused. We didn't really let any mistakes or errors throughout a match get to us. We kind of just stayed steady throughout the whole tournament, never looking ahead, kind of just focusing on that point, living in the present, and just playing each match one at a time. So,
Rachel, a semifinal match against Florida State went the Bruins' way pretty easily, and then you faced Illinois in the finals. You win set one, you're up 20-13 in set two, and all of a sudden, you can't stop them, and it's 25-23, Illinois wins the set. What was the mindset going into the break? You had 8 minutes to talk about it. What did the team discuss after you lost that set that really got away?
We just said that we had a lot of game left. I mean, losing one set isn't really a big deal in volleyball because we had three more to play. So, I mean, it was just confidence and patience. We knew that if we continued doing what we had been doing when it was working, we'd be fine. We just kind of let up at the end of that set and stopped playing our game. But we were confident. That's mostly what we talked about.
I told you when we came in before we started the show, I've never seen a player take over a tournament the way you took over this year's postseason. Tell us about the feeling of confidence you must have had playing in those matches.
Yeah, I mean, confidence was huge for me in the tournament because I struggle with that a lot, mostly in the regular season. But I knew that if I was confident, it would rub off on my teammates and they'd be confident in me and also in our team as a whole. So I just tried to stay positive the whole time and really focused and as confident as I could be to help everyone else.
Rachel, you played three different sports in high school, I've been told. What made you gravitate towards volleyball and continue to play here at the collegiate level?
Well, I played basketball for a long time, and I kind of just got over it. It was just too long, and I just wasn't really, like, in love with the sport anymore. And same thing with track. But I don't know, volleyball just stuck with me. It's really fun, and I just love being on a team. As far as being in track, it was just not, I don't know, it wasn't as fun to me to just be by myself. But yeah, and then playing when I realized I had the chance to play in college, I just, like, couldn't turn that down. So,
Dan, the coaching staff, Michael Seeley, the head coach, you as the assistant, you took some heat at the end of the season. You went to a 6-2 and lost a couple of the last matches going into tournament play. It looks like Michael Seeley and your staff had it planned all along. You were going to go back to a 5-1. But tell us about some of the soul-searching the staff had to do as you headed into the postseason.
Yeah, it was a little rough finish to the regular season. I'd like to say that we had that planned all along. Basically, I think teams started to pick on our right side block a little bit at the end of the year. So we were trying to figure out what to do to compensate for that. And so we tried the 6-2, gave it a little whirl. And it was okay. It wasn't bad, but, you know, going to a tournament, we decided, you know, let's go back to what was working in the beginning of the year. And we'll just ride that and see what happens. And I think the girls did a good job at responding, being ready for tournament, and just riding what we did in the beginning of the year and kind of taking that into the tournament.
As a player, you were a setter. Michael Seeley was a setter. Talk a little bit about Lauren Van Orden and the job she did for UCLA this year.
You know, it's remarkable what she did. Not many people could come into a program her last 2 years and just do what she did. She really not only just stepped up as a player, but kind of as a leader for the team. The girls really looked up to her. And on the court, they really respected her and her ability and everything. I think that was a huge reason for Rachel's success is a lot of what Lauren was able to do. Their connection between the two of them, you could see it throughout the whole tournament. You know, Rachel gets all the kills, and obviously she deserves a lot of the credit, but at the same time, that connection between those two was something I don't think any really setter hitter ever had in the country. So that was a big part of our success.
Rachel, you had so many elements on this year's Bruin team. You always seem to have perfect sets. I don't remember you ever being off balance, having to make a big swing. You've got the setter, you've got Zoe Nightingale comes in as a freshman, you Tabby Love, Sarah Sage, everybody contributed. It must have been a great feeling knowing you didn't have to do it all yourself.
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, I don't really like taking any of the credit anyways. I always put it off on my teammates, but I think everyone stepped up so much come tournament time. It was like such a team effort, which is what we've been stressing a lot, that one person can't do it by themselves, and everyone really has to play their best. And I'm just really proud of all of our players because Zoe had, like, the best tournament of her life. I thought she did so good. And Lauren and I have always had a great connection since the beginning, so I'm really proud of her, too.
Dan, Dave mentioned that you were a setter in college. What attributes did you take from your own playing experience over now into your coaching?
As a player, I kind of just really focused on, at the end of my playing career, when I was looked more to be a leader of the team, and kind of that vocal presence. And so I kind of take that into coaching, making sure that the girls, obviously, they look their coaches to be a leader, to be someone that can help them out vocally and help them out technically. So I try to make sure that as a coach now, that I continue what I kind of finished my playing career as and make sure that I'm vocal and constantly giving them feedback and making sure that they're aware of what they need to be doing technically, or if there's strategy involved, that they're always kind of aware, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm doing that stuff vocally. So,
Dan, I want to go back to the championship match against Illinois because it was an amazing emotional match. And one of the players who was shining early was Mariana Aquino, the young Brazilian. She was like a kangaroo out there. She was so hopped up. But at the end of the match, you guys took her out. You brought in Sarah Sage, the senior. What was the thinking behind putting the more experienced player in to close it out?
Mm-hmm. So Mariana, she was awesome those first two games, and she was playing very well. So one of the big reasons she's in there is because she's a side-out machine. She gets kills all the time. And whenever we set her, we can always count on her to put the ball down. So in that third game, she kind of wasn't siding out as well as she normally does. And then on top of that, the stats that I keep and the chart that I keep during the match it keeps track of where we're scoring points. And I just happened to notice that when Zoe was front row, we scored 9 real points. And when Mariana was in, we scored 1. So there was some disconnect there between what Mariana was front row and her blocking and her presence up there. So I always said, we always had a lot of trust in Sarah that she could always go in at a drop of a hat and she'd be ready to go in and play. So we kind of want to see Sarah's capable of hitting as quick as Mariana and capable of hopefully sliding out at that same rate. And then we were hoping that she could kind of start to help scoring some points with a block as well. So we figured we'd give the senior a shot, and she came and she did awesome. So it worked out.
Rachel, Illinois is good, and that was a tough, tough match. But you always seem to have your emotions, at least from the outside, under control when you're out there. What's the key to not letting the pressure of the moment get to you?
I don't really know what the key is. I've like learned over time that if I let my emotions get to me, then I won't play my best. So I think it's just really trying to stay calm every point. And I take it point by point, and if something goes wrong, I've gotten better at not reacting to it and, you know, getting upset, because then it affects like the future points. But I think it's just staying calm mostly and taking it point by point.
Finals were, of course, on national television. Have you watched the broadcast back?
Yeah, that was the first thing I did when I got home. I watched it again because I just wanted to like feel that emotion again, and it was definitely the same emotion the second time.
When you watch it back, is it like an out-of-body experience thinking, hey, that's me out there?
Yeah, it's kind of weird to see yourself on TV anyways, but then especially watching that happen, which, I mean, hopefully I can feel that again next year if we win, but it was just such a great experience, and I like, could watch it over and over again.
For both of you, what did it feel like to come back to campus after the championship? I know school wasn't in session when you guys got back, so the students and everything weren't around, but how does it feel to be back on campus with UCLA's 108th championship in your hands?
It feels awesome. I mean, every time we go somewhere, I don't know about you, but people are always like, congrats, congrats, even people that you don't know, and it's just cool that, I mean, everyone knows that we won, and it feels really good to bring it back here.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't make it back to campus right after. I kind of went home, and then I went back to New York to see my family and everything, but now that I'm back, just to see there's decorations everywhere, and it just feels good. It's like, oh, yeah, we actually did just win that championship, so it feels great.
20 years. Did the historical significance of that come into your thoughts as all the great players that have played at UCLA? But 20 years since the last title. Tell us what that meant.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think we kind of... It feels good to bring it back because UCLA had kind of been in a funk, I guess. Haven't won in a long time. So I think we just wanted to really be the team that turned the program around. And, you know, even if we didn't win, we wanted to make changes in the program and send it off in the right direction. So it feels good.
$150 million renovation of Pauley Pavilion. And next year, when the building is opened up, there will be a brand new banner, courtesy of women's volleyball. Congratulations on bringing home UCLA's 108th national championship.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back to talk with women's water polo about their goals for the upcoming season right after this public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bruin Talk. It is now time to honor our Student Athlete of the Week. This week, we honor Travis and David Ware of the men's basketball team as our Student Athletes of the Week. After a terrific performance at the Honda Center this last Saturday night against Arizona State, the 6'10 Ware twins proved to be a formidable force on the court. After sitting out last season using a redshirt year due to their transfer from North Carolina, the Ware twins have helped UCLA post a perfect 4-0 record in games at the Honda Center thus far this season. Travis had an impressive 16 points against Arizona State, and David grabbed a game-high 9 rebounds and added 8 points. Congratulations, David and Travis Ware, and good luck to the rest of the team. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at uclabruins.com.
UCLA's women's sports programs have always been national powerhouses, and nothing more true than about the women's water polo team. The Bruins are expected to be right in the thick of the national championship chase again this year. They're ranked 3rd in the preseason polls. and they're just about to get underway. And we're very pleased to have two members of the water polo team joining us today, Giselle Naranjo and Nicole Barker. Welcome to UCLA Bruin Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of players, a lot of people in Southern California don't really like the idea of going to Michigan in the middle of the winter, but that's where you guys start. You're off to the Michigan Invitational. It's got to be a great feeling knowing your season's about to get underway.
Yeah, it's extremely exciting. We're all really excited, first tournament of the year, and it's kind of nice to get away, actually, because everything's always in Southern or Northern California for the most part. So we have a couple trips each year to kind of experience a different atmosphere. So we're really excited.
And Giselle, you got to really experience a different atmosphere this summer. You were in the Pan American Games swimming for the Mexican side. You had to play against Courtney Mathis and Kelly Rulon, great players from UCLA. But you had the Orozco sisters with you, so it wasn't too far from home, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was an amazing experience. I was able to play in a different level, and it was just amazing to play with these players that just have so much more experience than I do. But
well, tell us about the game itself. What you say, playing at a different level. How did that impact your game? How'd you step it up?
Well, I had to step it up because I think it was an amazing experience playing with these players that have played for so long and have participated in bigger tournaments than I have. Just gave me more confidence that I can actually hang in there and play at their level.
How was it playing against former Bruins?
We never really played against the U.S. We didn't play them. We played Canada, and I know that a couple of their players played for SC, so that was kind of, you know, that rivalry. You just want to beat them, and we...
So it felt like home.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Well, the team is ranked number 3 in the preseason polls, and as Dave mentioned earlier, you guys are off to Michigan next week for the opening tournament. What are you guys looking to take out of that Michigan Invitational and bring it into your regular season play?
I think we're just looking to try to feel out our new strengths and weaknesses. I mean, we lost 7 seniors last year. A majority of them were impact players. So we definitely have a new team, kind of a younger team. But as far as experience goes, we're really excited to see it's a different type of dynamic as far as our play. So I think we're excited. We're faster. We have different strengths and weaknesses, like I said. So we're really excited to test that out against other teams and kind of finally get to play with each other, like under, you know, a game type of situation, because obviously we practice, but we've never really seen how we can mesh as a team. So
Nicole, you've had some injury problems. You missed 2010. You got in the pool for 4 games last year, but you're healthy this year. Tell us about your optimistic outlook as you look forward to this season.
I'm really excited. You know, it's exciting to be able to finally feel like 100%. Miles, our new strength coach, is really helping us with that. We've done a lot of injury prevention stuff. So, we had a lot of injuries last year too, not just myself, but a lot of people that are overcoming those this year. So I'm really excited to get it started and to see, you know, where this year goes. We're really excited.
Giselle, I'm always amazed when I talk to members of the women's water polo team. I was expecting to have hair that's a quarter inch long to get under the cap, but you guys have very long hair. You've got a lot to stuff in that cap. Well, it's always interesting in the heat of the action. Sometimes the caps get ripped off, and it must be odd. The play continues. Do you feel really vulnerable in there when your cap's been ripped off?
A little bit. I mean, it slows you down. It's a drag, but you just kind of have to play through it, and hopefully the referee calls stops the game.
After working out all fall, you do conditioning workouts and you're doing scrimmages against your team, but what's that feeling like when you're in the water against a live opponent for the first time?
It's, you just have that anger and you just want to go out there and kind of prove and show, you know, everything that you've worked for and put it out there in the water every time you're playing against someone.
How'd you get into playing water polo?
I started swimming, and then I just wanted to try water polo. I saw someone, you know, passing the ball in the water, and I was curious, and so I tried it.
Nicole, you alluded to the kind of strength training that you guys are doing with Miles, your weight coach. Mm-hmm. Water polo, you need to be strong, but you also need to be fast. So what kind of workouts do you guys do to ensure that you're at your best in the water?
Well, we do a lot of, conditioning is probably the most important. We do
a lot of swim stuff, you know, it varies from like long distance to focus on endurance, and sprints to worry about, you know, being quick. So we do that kind of stuff. A lot of legs, vertically and horizontally, just to work on, you know, pushing people out or being strong vertically when you're holding the ball. It's definitely important to be strong, but also really agile and, you know, quick. So we work on it.
Well, one of the keys of water polo is capitalizing on the 6-on-5 mm-hmm. and not getting in the 5-on-6 situations. Earning exclusions, really important in your sport. What are some of the things that you do to try to get under the other player's skin and earn those kickouts?
I think it depends. Like, there are certain players that we, you know, it's all about kind of personnel. We know some players are very mental on other teams, so you kind of try to work with that a little bit. Because sometimes it'll be easy for them to just, you know, give you an injection. So on the other hand, like, it's about positioning. I mean, you know, you got to work to get the inside advantage closest to the goal. Or on counterattack, when we are going down into our offense, like cutting people off and getting ahead of them again, like the advantage, you know, sometimes they get caught on their back, on your back, and it creates for an easy opportunity to have a 6-on-5. So.
You ever find that some of the baggage from the early days ends up in the pool when you're playing them at the college level?
Yeah, it's really funny to see some of the players, you know, when we play against SC, and we just kind of look at each other and smile when we're in the water, because it kind of feels like we're playing against, you know, together again, but not really, because we don't play in the same team. But, yeah.
Nicola, when you play SC, it's always a very important battle. A lot of times it's in the NCAA tournament, oftentimes in the MPSF tournament. How does a team get mentally prepared to play such a big game against your crosstown rival?
I mean, I think that we, you know, again, it's such a big rivalry, and I think naturally you can tell it's like when we're going to play them in a conference game, it's SC week. Everyone's a little more excited, working a little bit harder, because it's just, you know, it's that pride thing. Like, we're very excited to, you know, it's always a good game between us. Everyone's playing their, you know, A game.
Well, how's the team feel about the upcoming season? What are your thoughts as you go into Michigan and get ready for action?
I think we're excited. We're ready to prove that, you know, we're really good and we have a good team. We're young, but we have a lot of experience, and we're good. We should be solid.
The game goes by so fast. The 8-minute periods, I mean, they just fly by. You're in the second half, it's key 6-on-5, Brandon Brooks calls timeout, brings the team over. How do you focus on the words of the coach and not the situation? How do you tune into him when he's talking to you?
I think we all just really trust Brandon, and what, you know, he's very good at looking at the situation at hand and determining what would be best in that situation right there. So, we all just, we were really good at focusing and just understanding that what he's going to say is going to put us in the best position. So just, you know, like watching what he has to read up, maybe like asking a couple questions or suggesting something, but mainly just, you know, like focusing on what he's telling us to do and going in trying to execute it as best as we can.
After all the morning workouts and all the conditioning, is it a relief when the games actually start?
Oh, yes, yes, always. It's just different, you know, we apply everything that we learned in practice into the game, and that's just the best feeling when we all come back together and, you know, finish.
You guys mentioned that you have a really young team. How do you integrate the younger players into the system? I know it can be hard when, say, you have a ton of freshmen that don't really know what the college experience is about, much less how to play collegiate water polo. So how do you integrate them into your guys' game?
You know, obviously it takes time to understand the system and whatnot, but we try to just give them confidence and, you know, let them know that when you're in the pool, it's not about what grade you're in. You know, it's not about necessarily experience. Obviously that helps, but we try to give them confidence and, you know, just help them get to a level where they feel comfortable and they're able to make decisions, because they are all here, obviously, for a reason. They're great at what they do, and we're trying to just bring that out in them and not, you know, kind of get rid of the nerves a little bit. So,
as one of the players who's been around for a while, how do you take the leadership role into integrating those new freshmen?
I'm big about trying to teach them about the tradition here. I'm so fortunate to be here. I'm like, have been such a Bruin fan for so long. So I try to teach them that it's really special to be here. And we're just working hard all the time. I mean, I try to portray that, but at the same time, like, you know, tell them what is expected. And they all are, like, very good about acknowledging that and performing. So it's pretty easy.
At the Pan American Games, did you get to stick around for the USA-Canada final?
Yes, I did.
What, 29-28 or something like that in the extra shootout at the end of the game? That must have been crazy.
That was crazy. It was so much adrenaline going on, even in the stands. Me, I wasn't playing for the U.S., but it was just amazing to be there and get to watch that game live.
Have you ever been involved in a game like that?
That exciting? No. That was just one-time thing, I guess, because that was pretty awesome.
What are some of the highlights of your career that you can think of, games you've been involved in, and you think, wow, I just can't believe this is going on?
I think this summer I got to play in the World University Games in China, and we got to play China, which was the number one team, is the number two team in the world right now. And so just being able to stick with them, you know, all throughout most of the game and keep the game close was pretty awesome.
Well, UCLA water polo is pretty awesome, and the season gets underway right around the corner. They're off to Michigan, but you can keep track on what's going on with water polo by following the team on UCLABruins.com. We're going to have some live internet broadcasts of UCLA women's water polo as the season progresses. That's going to do it for this edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. We are so happy that you joined us. Until next time, for Allison, I'm Dave, saying so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.